He married a woman who is an alcoholic. Several times she has successfully given up drinking or been able to stop it, but she gets back into it again. What else can he do as her husband to stop her drinking?
Welcome to Life, Love, and Family.
Your spouse has a drinking problem, and you're trying to control them? They need me. That's where I get my sense of value. You may have crossed a line. Someone else happy? Do you ever feel resentful for it? Wanting to help a loved one through a difficult time can be a wonderful thing, especially if there's healthy boundaries in place. However, if that loved one's behavior affects you personally and you're trying to control them, you may have crossed a line. I'm Dr. Greg Jantz, and today on Life, Love, and Family, we're talking about codependency. Your spouse has a drinking problem. You've known about it for years, of course. But she keeps it out of sight from the kids. Or, he's so loving and hardworking, nobody has to know. And it's really not that big of a problem. Still, sometimes it gets so tiring being the only one who's grown up. I mean, you pay the bills, you do the cooking and the cleaning, and you keep everything organized. While your spouse is the fun one, who gets to play with the grandkids. Maybe you have a friend or coworker who's always late. Why do they mistreat you like that? Don't they know everything you do for them? Sometimes they make you mad, but you don't want to rock the boat. When they arrive late again with another excuse, you say, "I'm sorry," like it was all your fault. Why are you apologizing? It's practically an automatic response, and you've just reinforced the bad behavior. You might be a parent. And surely your job is to be responsible for your children. If the children are little, of course, you'll take charge of meeting all their needs. But healthy parents also take care of themselves. As your children have grown into teens and young adults, have you maintained your friendships with other adults? Do you still do activities that are outside your home? Or have you become a chauffeur, a cheerleader, a party planner, and a homework enforcer? Healthy parents are to be responsible to their children, but you're not responsible for their strengths, weaknesses, and choices. At the Center, a place of hope, we've helped many people across the country recognize the presence of this codependency, and we've helped them uncover root causes and discover how unknowingly they've contributed to the problems in their relationships. And we've helped them overcome these behaviors and restore healthy relationships. The cycle of what we're talking about today of codependency can be defeated. And I want to help you too. Kara's in the studio.
You know, when I was a kid, my mom would say things like, "Oh, Kara's 10 going on 40. I thought that was such a compliment that somehow that meant I was mature. And really, she was saying, you know, I was so responsible. I was supposed to be the child in that relationship. If it's possible that you find yourself in a relationship that's codependent, you can stop the pattern right now. 888-771-5166.
As we talk about the problem of codependency, that word alone can be kind of confusing. Mm. Am I codependent? And it's such a buzzword that at times it does get a little fuzzy about what we're talking about. Let me ask some questions, And let me suggest it's a learn response, which means we can relearn as well. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in a home where somebody had an addiction? It could be any kind of an addiction. Could have been an alcohol addiction, could have been a sex addiction, could have been a prescription drug addiction. Did you grow up in a home where there could have been a mental disability, a family member who struggled? Or a home where there was chronic illness, a family member's illness was really a major issue throughout growing up? And did somebody else take care of them, whether they're the addict or they had a chronic illness? Did somebody take care of them and then make excuses for them and eventually sacrifice their own needs for this person? Maybe the someone else was you. And this thing is unbalanced. It's an unhealthy relationship. And what's normal doesn't mean it's healthy. What is normal could be extremely unhealthy. The person who feels needed, no matter how resentful or worn out they get, will look to other people who will need them too. It's called an enabling relationship. Two people who are really needy, but the codependent is going to so overserve and so enmesh themselves into your life or the other person's life that their very happiness is dependent upon how well they're serving you, how well they're meeting your needs. The codependent doesn't have a good sense of self, and their identity is going to come through being with, attempting to be with, serving, over-serving another person. That's where they get their value. Now, this is typically low self-esteem, and there are poor boundaries in relationships, and the codependent person will feel affirmed. They need me. That's where I get my sense of value. And this is why some adult children of alcoholics oftentimes marry an alcoholic. And really to them, this unhealthy codependent dance is really what love looks like. If you seem to attract needy people, and if your relationships have been lopsided, you need to ask yourself, what are my kids learning from me? What am I perpetuating as far as allowing an unhealthy relationship to continue and continue? It's generally fear that keeps us entrapped. We tend not to feel very lovable, and maybe it's hard to imagine that God loves me and has a plan for my relationships to be healthy. That seems unimaginable.
We have a question from Barry. He says he hates the term enabler. He married a woman who is an alcoholic. He says that several times she has successfully given up drinking or been able to stop it. At those times, he really encourages her and he affirms her and he celebrates, you know, what she's able to do in her progress. But then if or when she falls back off the wagon or gets back into it again, he says that he does fight with his wife. They get very angry, but he refuses to end his marriage over this. This is not a deal breaker. What else can he do as her husband to stop her drinking? Right.
Right. Here we are. We're trying to stop somebody else's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I wish I could say, well, do this and all the drinking will stop.
Right.
It won't. And have you noticed that the more you try to control another person, sometimes their behavior increases, the undesirable behavior. Sometimes it puts that behavior even in a more secret zone. Sometimes the more another person feels controlled, they will go about it even more deceptively. They're going to rebel openly. You can't control another person's drinking. The only thing you're going to be able to control is what you allow and disallow. And there may come a time, if it hasn't happened yet, where we need to plan on an intervention, a way of stepping in and saying, enough's enough, and we'll give an opportunity for this cycle to be broken. And the number one reason why this doesn't happen, that we don't break the cycle, is our own fear. If I don't have him, I mean, he is providing for the family, so he does drink and he does mistreat me, but you're allowing an addiction in the family, which is really making everyone sick. You've got to say, God, I understand with your help, I can do this. I can do all things. I'm going to face this. I'm going to face the fear, and I'm going to ask that you empower me with the truth, and I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth is, I can't control the drinking, but I can say enough's enough. and it's time for you to get help. I'll help you if you want help in that regard, but there's got to be boundaries in place. Now, don't do that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Get your team together that's going to help you out to do that. Do you know, as you begin to put boundaries in place, it may be pretty rocky, but you're actually going to feel stronger. You watch. It's true.
So when Barry puts his team together, this is a team that will hold an intervention?
Well, they're going to be a team that's going to pray.
Okay.
The team may be some people that are going to help with what is an intervention.
Okay.
Good and wise counsel. Somebody praying for us that we're going to be able to say what needs to be said. And we need somebody that's going to really structure this so that if I'm really, truly going to stand up and say this behavior and this alcohol and this addiction is no longer okay and you need to get help, I've got to be able to back that up. If not, I continue to enable it.
Today on Life, Love, and Family, we're talking about codependency. You can heal your unhealthy relationships. The center is a place of hope. 888-771-5166.
As you think about codependent, when I use that word, here's what I mean. You're going to have an exaggerated sense of self-responsibility. You're going to overtake care of everything to the highest degree possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to be confusing what real love is. You're going to confuse love and over-rescuing. Do more of trying to fix the other person, and you're going to feel hurt, maybe unnoticed, undervalued, and you're going to do all you can to get their approval. You've got an extreme need for approval and to be recognized yourself, and your sense of self is so fragile that you're looking to get this through somebody else. The codependent is also trying to control other people by over-serving, over-pleasing. Well, if I do this, then he's not going to drink as much. If I make him really happy, he's not going to be angry at me. And you're trying to control the unhealthy behavior, and it's making you sick. We're talking today about codependency and what it really means. And I want to say today that it's not the design that God has for our relationships. This is not a God design for a healthy relationship.
If you just joined us, today on Life, Love, and Family, we're talking about codependency. We've mentioned Dr. Greg Jantz's book, Hope and Healing from Emotional Abuse. It offers real help in breaking the cycle of unhealthy relationships. You can find the book and connect with Dr. Jantz on his website, aplaceofhope.com, 888-771-5166. So we have a question. Cheryl says she didn't realize that she can become a codependent with somebody besides her husband. She has a friend that's really needy. And Cheryl is always there for this friend, always helping her, encouraging her, giving advice, whatever. And yet every time Cheryl turns to this friend for support, well, suddenly she's too busy and she doesn't have anything to do and she doesn't want to listen to Cheryl's problems. Although Cheryl says, this woman keeps hurting my feelings, every time she wants me to do something with her, I keep agreeing. And so it just keeps going on. And she wants to know, am I a codependent?
Well, a people pleaser who will do and say yes to things that they really want to say no to, that pattern, then I'm going to say, yes, you are a codependent. Congratulations. But there is a way out of this. So look at the people pleasing. That is one of the symptoms, if you will, of a codependent. Remember, you're going to be finding yourself doing things, being engaged in things that inside you really don't want to. And you may find yourself, you want to say no, but you say yes, and you feel real desperate, and then you're hooked, and there you are. It's hard to communicate what the truth is, hard to make decisions for you that you really want to make, and you're finding yourself in a place in a relationship that's unhealthy for you because you couldn't say, no, I'm sorry, that's not going to work out for me. You go and have a good time. Okay. That's called having healthy boundaries. Now, ultimately, this makes us sick. And I'm going to say it makes us sick emotionally. And I believe physically, we end up carrying such physical burdens. And I believe that over time, we get very ill physically, emotionally, and I'm going to suggest spiritually. This is a distortion of a relationship that our Creator has designed for us. So we're going to need to go back to that fundamental relationship with Christ and look at, what do I believe about God and how God sees me? How is my appropriate attachment to God, to my Creator? Do I feel loved? Am I allowing God to love me? Can I allow a natural love to come out of me into relationships that's a healthy love for others? Or do I have an extreme need to be needed, extreme need for approval? Do I feel guilty when I speak up? Do I find myself making a lot of excuses and, in essence, lying? Do I find myself feeling entrapped in a relationship and I'm overly responsible? So look for those patterns.
Cheryl reminds me of a friend I have. Often when a person gets to know a needy person and they have a needy friend, well, then they'll have another needy friend and another needy friend. You know, it is a pattern. You talked about the repetition. But if a person is truly needy, how do you say no?
If a person's truly needy,
right,
and they are, we still got to practice. I mean, we need to stand in front of the mirror and practice saying no.
I like it.
No, I have had people where I'll say, look, in the mirror, look at yourself and make eye contact with yourself in the mirror.
Right.
And really where they have to practice. And I had a lady once who told me, she says, I can't get no out of my mouth. It just doesn't work that way. And so we would do an exaggerated response and she would practice with her mouth saying no. And just, right. She had to really practice it. And because she just was not in her vocabulary.
Sure.
And to practice saying, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to hurt their feelings. You can say to somebody, you know, I'm sorry, that's not going to work out for me. Thanks for asking. Because here's what the codependent, they're going to start to make a lot of excuses. Mm. They're going to make so many excuses, then they're going to be engaging in the behavior. Go, well, I might as well join you. Watch for this. Watch for this in our relationships. Are you in a relationship presently where it's hard for you to tell the truth emotionally? Are you afraid? Let me give you the three emotions that you may be struggling with. Number one is anger, and you could put next to anger is hurt. I may have a lot of hurt and anger and frustration in my life, and I'm afraid to do anything with it, so I've become codependent. I ignore it. I deny my anger. I deny my hurt, and I'm over-serving others. I'm trying to feel better. I'm trying to numb out my anger by my relationships that are not healthy. That's number one. Number two is going to be a lot of fear. You're going to carry fear. You're going to be afraid to speak up. You're going to carry fear that you're not good enough. You're going to allow yourself to be in unhealthy relationships because you're afraid there won't be another relationship. Mm. So as we look at this today, we are addressing something that is fairly common. It's easy to slide into. We've usually learned this. And here's the pattern that could be typical for you. You learned it growing up. Maybe you had a mom. And you learned how to do these behaviors, but now you've perfected it, okay? And the big question is, well, how's that working for you? And of course, it's not.
Bob is worried about his wife. He says that she's a wonderful mother, and she has, for years, taken great care of their daughter, Amy. Amy's 24 now. She still lives at home. She has Asperger's. Bob says that his wife has devoted herself to finding the best specialists and the school programs and even arranging opportunities for Amy to have as much social interaction as possible. He says at this point, Amy is doing really well. She has friends, she has a job she loves at the local library, and she hopes to move out on her own soon. But Bob's wife hasn't taken care of herself in years. Now she's starting to have health problems. And Bob is really concerned and he wants to know how he can convince his wife that her job with Amy is done.
Is done.
Yeah.
We may need to get some other help with this.
Okay.
We may need to involve a counselor. This could be so entrenched that she needs to maybe change her environment. And I know it's going to sound at first extreme, but I want you to consider that you may need to step out of that long enough and go somewhere and get some help so that you can break free of this. There needs to be a reintroduction back into a relationship in a different way that's going to be healthy. I'm also concerned that this could be a pattern in other relationships. You've mentioned one situation. There could be others. And I know unless the core issues are addressed, you'll tend to repeat these patterns over and over and over in other relationships. And you know, the husband, obviously he loves and cares in this situation, but the husband may need some guidance here as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to suggest there's times where it's just clear, you know, there's professional intervention. There is coming to a place like the center, a place of hope where we work on relationship issues, where we break this. I'm going to call it a bondage, mm-hmm. where we are so entrenched that this is a bondage.
Codependency hurts. The center is a place of hope. 888-771-5166.
Today, the struggle with codependency is a painful one. Mm-hmm. It is one today that could be creating a lot of uncertainty for you and your future. And remember, that third emotion that you could be really struggling with is fear, and it'll paralyze you from doing anything. And we want to pray with you today that that fear will be broken. The fear that is in your life that keeps you from doing anything about this, if you're living in a situation that is destructive, it's the fear that keeps it. And we know that fear is a great tool of the enemy, and that God promises, I'm looking in Corinthians here, true love will protect, it trusts, it always hopes, and it will preserve, and love never fails. That's not codependency. And today, if you're in that bondage, there are groups, there are resources, there are Al-Anon groups, there are Christian groups that are available. If you need help with those, locating where the resources are, that's something we can do for you today. But we want you to know you can move forward. And we may need to take some steps today in some situations that are radical to break this. Because you could be struggling with great depression. And it is that depression and anxiety, and it's that despair, and it's that feeling that I'm all alone and there's no way out. There's times where professional intervention is definitely indicated, and we want you to know, and you can go to aplaceofhope.com, check out what the options are, begin today to do some research so that you know, yes, with God's help, there is a plan for me in my life. I can break free of this. Even if I don't fully understand what codependency is, even if I don't fully understand why this is in my life, you can break free. And as we're talking about this today, don't let a label like codependency or even the label of depression and say, I have to live this way. So often we live with a spirit of defeat that feels like I can't do anything about this. It's just the way it is. Today, I want you to know there is a new way. And I want to tell you that I've seen people break free and break free from the past and experience a level of health and relationships that they never really dreamed was possible. And that can be you today.
Here in this worn and weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide.
Sometimes we get so focused on pleasing others, if we don't stop to evaluate our relationships, find out, are they really healthy? If you feel overworked, underappreciated, really, when was the last time you did something just for you, just for fun? As you've listened to us today, maybe you've recognized yourself in some of the stories. And the good news is, this codependent cycle can be broken. You can start to change things today, and truly, we'd love to help. I'm Dr. Greg Jantz, founder of the Center, A Place of Hope. And together with Dr. Tim Clinton and Life, Love, and Family, we have all the resources that you need to get started. Pick up the phone, call us anytime at 855-455-3264. It's 855-455-3264. I want to thank you for listening today to Life, Love, and Family. You can share what you've heard today, and you can listen to this program again or send it to somebody you love from our website. Go to lifeloveandfamily.net. Change is possible. God loves you. And with good boundaries, you can have healthy relationships in your life.
Life, Love, and Family.
You know the feeling where you're tired and unmotivated, and sometimes you get mad for no reason. And maybe you don't like what it's doing to your family or to your job. That's why the Center for Counseling and Health Resources has been there for people for more than 30 years. They take a whole person care approach that'll look at everything from your nutrition, your vitamin balances, your mind, your spirit. Call 1-888-771-5166. Or for help right now, visit aplaceofhope.com.